204.
There's nobody.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no
say trust and obey or rust and decay. One way or another, you're going to have to do something with this Jesus, which is called Christ. Amen. Pilate's wife said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? I've suffered many things today in a dream because of him." My pastor took that text one time, preached a message called Mission Impossible, trying to have nothing to do with Jesus. The Bible says, in him we live, move, and have our being. You'll have something to do with him one day. You'll stand before him one day and give an account. Before I jump the gun here, maybe someone's got a song on your heart this morning, a special. If you have one, we certainly would be more than willing to allow that. And if not, we'll be taking our text this morning. You got one, Lou? Come right on, buddy.
appear. The air I first believe, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far.
Amen.
And grace will lead me home when we've been there 10,000 years.
Yeah.
Bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen, brother. I got a TV commercial now. I really like it. They sing that song, and the guy walks up there to the screen and said, I was a crackhead. The other one said, I was a heroin addict. The other one said, I was a prostitute. The other one said, I was broken. But in all those cases, he made them whole. Oh, I tell you what, never a man spake like that man. He brought peace to this world. And he's the only one that can bring peace. If you're here today, and you're lacking in the area of peace, I tell you right now, buddy, he's the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Brother, he's, before you get started, I have a testimony.
All right.
Over Christmas, there was one of the Amish ladies that called me and asked me to take her to see her dad, who she requested to go see for Christmas. And she said, I won't interfere with your Christmas if you'll take me up late Christmas Eve night.
Bless you, Nita.
Come get me late Christmas night.
Bless you, Nita.
And I debated on it and everything, and something just kept telling me to take her.
Bless you.
And I took her and her family, and there's 11 children. She's the 11th child.
Yeah.
And all the other children, well, actually, she's like the first child, but I mean, they have 11 children. They were all there except her, had she not got to go. And when I got there, her mother's hair, of course, they usually wear their bonnets and stuff, but we had caught them off guard, and it was bedtime. And they invited me into their home. Of course, there wasn't any lights or anything, but I could see the firelight.
Yeah.
And they invited me into their home, and it was so warm in there.
Yeah.
And her hair had started coming down. And she said, excuse me for how I look. I said, it's dark in here. Can't see no way. And she reached and she touched my face, and she kept crying. And she said, thank you for bringing my daughter home.
Yeah.
She said, she's the last of the 11. She said,
amen.
She said, if she had not come, then I wouldn't have had the house full. And she just kept weeping and hugging on me.
Yeah.
And you know, that was a special blessing that I got
to see.
And then the next night when I picked them up after Christmas, her dad, he kept patting me on the back. And it wasn't for anything. You know, they take me for the trip and things. It wasn't for that.
Yeah.
But just the blessing that I got.
Right.
I would have done it over again. Just to have those blessings from her parents. You know, to feel that love that, you know, one child made in that family. And I just thank the Lord for that, because that was what was Christmas was about. And I told my husband, I said, that's what made it better. That's what made Christmas.
Amen.
You know, I got to see a little bit of inside somebody else, and the Lord let me see that.
She put herself at a loss for the gain of someone else, and got blessed in so doing. That's what she's trying to say. And you know, that's what the Lord told us to do. He really did. He told us to do what she just did right there. And I appreciate that, Nita. You know, what you did was a hardship to you, but it had been a blessing, didn't it? Yeah, them's the kind of things Jesus did. The things He done was a hardship, but they were a blessing to others. He put Himself at a loss for our gain. He spent Himself so we could have that which we need. Amen? Hold up your... You want to sing? All right. Open up our Bibles, 1 John chapter 5. Again, I ask you to pray for me. This is a rough message. I'm just a messenger boy. This will go over like a lead balloon. But Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And there will be a lot of gospel in this. He said he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said God count him faithful and put him in the ministry. And this pretty rough message, the world won't like it. You might not like it neither. But I'll tell you what, this is the kind of message we need to hear more of. 1 John chapter 5, we'll read three verses there. Starting in verse number 16, We'll read 16, 17, and 18. 1 John chapter 5, right in front of the book of Revelations, right in front of the book of Jude. The Bible said, if any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Our text verse right here. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one touches him not. We'll stop our reading right there. Remember what I read you there in verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. Pray with me. Father, we love you this morning. Lord, we only have lips of clay. But I do pray, Lord, you'll take a coal from the altar of God and touch my lips, Lord, that they might be able to be used this morning. Lord, I need this message as much as anybody here. And I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't need this message. But oh, how the world needs this message. Therefore, Father, I humbly ask you to help me and confess my dire need of your help today. Lord, I'm nobody, nothing. Lord, you've always took nothing, made something out of it, and I yield myself to you this morning. Lord, just pray, dear Father God, you would fill me and give to me to give to these that they may get fed and feed those, Lord, that are also interested in the truth. Lord, may they also, Lord, get benefit from this message. And I'll praise you and thank you. Do my best to give you all the glory. In Jesus' blessed name, Father, I'll ask it. Amen. All unrighteousness is sin. We give a lot of titles to sin. We categorize some of them as big sin, some of them little sin. But I'll tell you right now, there's no cloak for sin other than the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And the Bible said if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just forgive us our sin. And the blood of His Son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I'm laying a foundation. It's going to take me forever to lay this foundation. And it's going to be a lengthy message. I can't really even apologize for it. I'm just the messenger boy. But I want to kind of continue the trend where I mentioned last Sunday about Phil Robertson being my hero. That Star Duck Dynasty that said the unthinkable. You know the world, they're running everywhere. They're straining that, swallowing camels, trying to figure out how to brush this aside. I mean, you get Charlie Sheen. He done come out there, you know, foaming at the mouth, all his sarcastic remarks about this godly man. You got the Reverend Reggie Jackson, whosoever he be, no nothing to me. But I'll tell you right now, the world looks on these two men as being some great men. I'll tell you right now, one day they'll stand before God just like Eddie Wayne, just like you, and they'll find themselves to be but men. But the world puts a lot of stock in what Jesse Jackson says, and I don't know about that of Charlie Sheen. I think he'd probably been better off just kept his mouth shut, and the world probably wouldn't notice just how ignorant Bailey is. But anyway, listen, I want to preach this morning, is homosexuality a sin? That's important. Now, we call homosexuality, we call it an alternative lifestyle. Call it gay. I remember one time I filled out a job application, Brother Vernon. I was embarrassed. I got red-faced filling out a job application. In a job application, it said, which sex best describes you? It was just a little bit blank there. In the biggest letters I could, I put M-A-L-E. And a job application said, are you married or do you have a significant other? And as big as I could in that little bitty line, I put M-A-R-R-I-D, happily married to my loving wife that somehow has put up with me as of this month of 38 years. And the Bible says, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The first not good mentioned in the Bible, God looked down on man whom He had made from the dust of the ground, made him in the image of God, breathed in his nostrils. He became a living soul, and God looked down upon that man and God said it's not good for a man to be alone. Now, before we get all misconstrued, just bear with me here this morning. God said, I'll go down. I'll make a help meant for the man. Now, we're going to hit deep this morning. Not so deep that little Luke can't understand. Not so deep that little Kaylee can understand. But I'll promise you this, the Word of God. How do we know what is sin? Who said sin, sin? Well, your opinion's like mine. We got opinions are like armpits. I got a couple and they both stink. And I put that ride guard on and somebody gave me some underarm deodorant and I put it on too. That's kind of where our opinions are. We've all got one. We might not necessarily agree on everything, but we can agree on some things. God said about this thing of homosexuality, God said it's an abomination in the sight of a holy God. Now the world, they don't want to hear that. You know, you got to kind of figure out some other sugarcoat that a little bit. So bear with me. I've got to make a full circle here. And this dog get big enough for this fight. I do desire your prayers this morning. But how do we know what sin? Paul said, I have not known sin, but by the law. He said the Word of God told him that he was a sinner. He said, I have not known sin, but the law said, thou shalt not covet. And he said the law convinced him, in fact, he was a sinner. And you can't go to college and find out about sin. You can go to college and indulge in sin. You can go to college and find out just how wicked and sinful the professors and the teachers are and how they can get away with anything. But if you want to find out what sin is, you got to go to the Bible. And the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin. The world says that Phil Robertson, Brother Burnham, they said he's out of touch with mainstream Christianity. I say mainstream Christianity's out of touch. That's what I say, Molly. I say they need to get back to what thus saith the Word of God. That's what I say, man.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when you start drifting, you never really realize how far you drifted till you look back to the shore, and we done got so far from the shore, only God and the Word of God can get us back to where we need to be. The Bible says nations that forget God will be turned into hell. It says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Amen. Did you know that 96% of Americans, including Alaska, agree with Phil Robertson? That's not no secret. I got up to vote. It said on there, would you like to vote on whether Phil Robertson said, right or wrong? I said yes. And I voted and it showed me every state. Some of them was higher than 96%. So that tells me only 4%. How great a matter, little Evan Lambeth. 4% have got a problem with the statement that homosexuality is a sin. That's not going to overthrow the throne of God. That's not going to silence the Scripture. That's just going to show the ignorance of 4%. But he's out of touch with mainstream Christianity. Hello! Amos chapter 8, verse 11. God said, behold, in the last days there will be a famine of hearing. See, we just need to get back to the Bible, of hearing the Word of God. We just need to get back to what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. Now, Mainstream Christianity just needs to repent because the majority doesn't rule the God of the Bible and the Bible does. Now, when Piers Morgan asked Joel Osteen, point blank on his show, is homosexuality a sin? And as Joel Osteen turned purple and with a holy grunt grabbed his Bible and he said, well, there are a lot of sins mentioned in the Bible. That's where you kind of get that politically correct dodge. You know, you just kind of get the issue on something else. But he couldn't answer. The reason he can't, because he's been bought and paid for. And I'm not. I'll tell you right now, the fear of man brings a snare. And the fear of God is health to all your flesh. By the fear of the Lord, you'll do right.
Amen.
But Piers Morgan put him on the spot. He said, Joel Osteen, is homosexuality a sin? And as he choked on that question, and as he brushed it aside, he's trying to be politically correct. Well, I will tell you right now, this ain't no butter knife.
Amen.
This is a sword.
Yeah,
cuts sunder bone and marrow. It says what it means. It means what it says. Amen. That's why I will give you a Bible answer. That's in Hebrews 4:12. Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to be turning a lot of places in the Bible. It's the only way I know how to answer this question. But in Matthew chapter 22, the Sadducees come to Jesus. Of course, they're going to show their ignorance. And anybody that does come to Him to try to overthrow Him will end up showing their ignorance. But in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse number 23, it says, the same day they came to Him talking about Jesus, the Sadducees would say there's no resurrection, and asked Him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, and his brother marry his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother, now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he'd married a wife, deceased or died, having no issue of children, left his wife unto his brother, likewise the second also, the third unto the seventh, last of all the woman died also. Now these boys that don't believe in the resurrection, they're willing to go this far. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven, for they all had her? Jesus just real nice, polite. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. And he said, for in the resurrection, he's commenting on their ignorance, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven, but as touching the resurrection of the dead. Again, he's addressing their error. Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God's not the God of the dead, but of the living. Amen. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. You know, if people spent more time in the Bible, not only would they not be so gullible and so ignorant, they wouldn't follow so many cunning devised fables. They wouldn't fall in so many fallacies. I like it when people try to correct the Bible. Oh me, the Bible says let God be true and every man be a liar. The Bible says we come out of the womb speaking lies and we're going to somehow try to correct the one that the Bible says it's impossible for him to lie. Anyway, the Pharisees thought, hey, we'll show him. Matthew chapter 19, bear with me here. I'll take this off my chest. I'll be better off. Maybe you will too. I don't know. But in Matthew chapter number 19, the Bible says here in verse number 3, it says, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? That's the problem right there. Have ye not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? Where's same sex at? Where is it? Somebody show me, I pray thee, where it's got same sex right there. And for this cause shall a man leave father and mother. Again, where is it? Show me. Show me. Give me a verse. And cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder.
Amen.
Bless you, Brother Howard.
Show me same-sex unions in the Bible. Show it to me. And I will get there. It's just going to take me a while. Jesus silenced the Sadducees with the Word of God. Jesus silenced the Pharisees by the Word of God. And He made a reference, when He did, to Genesis chapter number 2, verse 24, where the Bible says that Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain will be one flesh." That's what Jesus talking about. Said, "Have you not read in the beginning, He made a male and female?" But I want you to know that marriage, and all marriages, your marriage, my marriage, will be attacked. That very marriage that Adam said, "This is now my wife," that marriage was attacked the next chapter in Genesis chapter 3. Here come a lying serpent. First thing he said, "Yea, have God said," he's questioning the Word of God. That's what they do, Brother Melvin. They question the Word of God. I wish they'd give me a microphone. I wish they'd give me 10 minutes to take the Word of God and show them how they have need one teach them again what be the oracles of God. Amen? But anyway, that marriage was immediately attacked. You can read about it for sake of time. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, that marriage was attacked. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4, says that the marriage is honorable and all. It was sanctified, sanctioned by God. God gave the marriage covenant. He blessed it. He saw a lonely man. He said, "I'm going to go down. I'm going to make a help met for that man." God made the first woman, the same that made the first man. He brought them together. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She'll be called woman." She was taken out of the man. Where's the miss? How are you going to miss that? The Bible said marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. Now, bear in mind, Phil Robinson, he used some crude speech. Well, here's some crude speech. But whoremongers, that's crude, but it's in the Bible, and adulterers, God will judge. I just want you to know, sometimes you can't beat around the bush. Sometimes you got to say it like it is. It's sin. It's sin against the holiness of God. It's sin against the Word of God. And I want you to know, God stands ready to judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. Amen. Is homosexuality a sin? Absolutely. Jesus told that lying devil in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, verse 7, and verse 10. He told that lying devil, "It's written." If we didn't have it written, your opinion and my opinion would have value. But since we got a Bible, your opinion and my opinion must submit and subject ourselves to the Word of God. Jesus told that lying devil, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word," see, out of the mouth of God. We need the Word of God. Amen. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, for the time will come." Amen. They'll not endure sound doctrine, but out their own lust. So they heap themselves teachers, have an itch in ears. Watch it. Be turned from the truth to fables. Is homosexuality a sin, Brother Eddie? The Bible said it is. Amen. I just read you, all unrighteousness is sin. There's no cloak for it. There's no covering for it other than the blood of Jesus. Now, I do have a positive message at the end of this, but we're going to go through a lot of negative here for a minute. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 1 through 3. Says, "Woe to the rebellious children." This is important. I want you to listen to what this says here. Woe to the rebellious children. This is a good text for this topic right here. "Saith the Lord, they take counsel, but not of me." In other words, they'll hear what somebody else says rather than what the Bible says. "And they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit." Well, why would they do that, Brother Eddie? That they may add sin to sin. Everybody wants to sin. If you want to sin, just remember this. There are consequences.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. The Bible says sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. You laugh at the funeral if you want to. It makes me cry when I see the product of sin. The Bible said about sin at the last, it stings like an adder. Bite up like a serpent. Ain't nothing funny about sin, yet the Bible said fools make a mock at it. They make jokes at it, we laugh about it, but it's still sin. They're not laughing about sin down in hell. They're not laughing about sin up in the maximum security prisons. They're not laughing about sin. Those are, in a hospital, fighting for every breath. It's not funny then. It's only funny when you're standing back looking at it saying, ha ha. I'll tell you right now, boy, you'll be a fool if you mock at sin. You'll be a fool if you laugh at sin. But it says, they go down to Egypt. In other words, they go to the world for an answer. Verse 2 says, and they've not asked at my mouth. They don't want to know what thus saith the Word of God. They don't want to know, is there any word from the Lord? They don't want to know what thus saith the Bible. They go down to Egypt and they say, give me an answer. And the reason they do that is to strengthen themselves in the strength of the world and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. And God said, therefore shall the shadow of Pharaoh be to your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. That's what's wrong with the world. They've turned from the Bible to fables. Cunningly devised fables, by the way. Now, I said that's important. The reason I said that's important, because in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, Samuel told Saul, for rebellion, here's the word, is as the sin of witchcraft. Is homosexuality a sin? Yeah, it's rebellion. Is rebellion a sin? Yeah, I just gave you scripture and verse. 1 Samuel. Scripture and verse, Brother Eddie. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee. Now you reject this Bible. The Bible said you fall on this thing, you'll live. If it falls on you, it says it'll grind you to powder. You better not let this Bible fall on you, it'll devour you. It'll swallow you up. You do well, take heed. Give the most earnest heed, lest at any time you let it slip. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:2, I believe that's right. We ought to give the most earnest heed. We don't. Man, we sold ourselves to this matter of sin and stuff. Government made a fortune off of it. Leviticus, I'm going to go Old Testament, New Testament, so bear with me. Now the world, they say, well, that's Old Testament, Brother Eddie. Well, let's go to Old Testament and let's go to New Testament. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Why? It's an abomination in the sight of a holy God. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13 says the exact same thing, except it adds this right here. They shall be put to death.
Yeah. Yeah.
It ain't funny. Now, them Muslims, they're not compassion like you and me. They take them out and stone them. They shoot them, behead them. And when they come over here, and they are, and when they get all set up, and they will, we're right at it. You say what you want to. I'll read enough Bible, watching enough news, tell you right now, our country is right now getting ready to be taken over. All these TV shows, we've been building these big compounds, these fortresses, they know a little bit.
Yeah.
That's not just a TV show. They know it's coming. Loading up all that stuff, going down in the ground, all that food and stuff. They said food's going to be worth more than gold. Hey, I'm leaving out.
Amen.
You go ahead with your survival skills. You go ahead with all that. I'm leaving out. I'd rather starve to death and compromise. Amen? I'd rather starve to death and condone some of this junk the world's embracing. The Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom, his clothes not be burned? I'm telling you, boy, they got an affair with sin. It said to be put to death. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, flee fornication. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now, old Brother Phil Robertson used some crude speech. But I'll tell you what he did. He brought a great truth to mind. Because in Romans chapter 1, verse 24 says, they dishonor their own bodies. That's what he meant. of what he said. It's crude, I agree. You read your Bible, and if you want to, for the sake of time, I won't read this. But if you'll read your Bible, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32, you'll realize, buddy, God's going to judge that matter. You also read Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7. You'll find out in Romans chapter 7, verse 13, that sin, that it might appear sin. God made me this way, preacher. You liar. You liar.
That's right.
That's a liar straight out of hell. I'll give you verse. I'll give you verse of Scripture. Give me a verse of Scripture, Brother Eddie. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. You liar. Say you're born that way. You read Ecclesiastes, you'll find out God made man upright. But it's sought up many inventions that pervert the uprightness of God. Now, don't tell me you're born that way. I'm telling you God's no liar. And you are when you say you're born that way. The Bible says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God to be a homosexual. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he every man, or any man. Now listen to this, this is simple, clear. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away. Drawn away from what, Brother Eddie? Truth, church, God. Amen. Drawn away. You know, if he'd sit in church, he might have heard some truth. Drawn away of his own lust. I don't think they have to beat nobody to make them that way. I think they just got a wicked heart. They love darkness rather than light. They don't understand the devil. They don't understand God. They're drawn away of their own lust and enticed. That's a pretty rough word. Enticed. Entangled. Entrapped. Homosexuality is a sin. Now, there's a lot of sins in the Bible. I don't want to just nail on this. But I'll tell you one thing, what it says about sin. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it finished, it bringeth forth death. And the next verse says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Now we've got wicked, vile, federal judges overthrowing the rule of people in Utah and California to overthrow their vote and to rewrite the laws to accommodate and allow same-sex union, but it's still an abomination.
That's right. Yes.
Now, I told you I was going to give you a positive note to this message. Is there hope for homosexuals, Brother Eddie? I hope the homosexuals are still listening. And if we got any homosexuals this morning, I hope you listen to me because God loves you. He hates sin, but He loves the sinner. There is hope for the homosexual out. For the homosexuals, if they will confess their sin, if they'll be faithful and just, He'll be faithful and just, forgive their sin, and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. But to do that, number one, you got to acknowledge your sin.
Yeah.
Psalms 51, verse 3, David said, I acknowledge my transgression.
That's right.
You got to repent to God for your sin. David again said, Psalm 51, verse 1, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in my sight. If you're willing as a homosexual to acknowledge your sin and to repent to God for your sin and to ask Jesus to forgive you, Jesus said He'd no wise turn you away, St. John chapter 6, verse 37. As a matter of fact, Jesus bids you to come. He said, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You'll find rest unto your souls. My yoke's easy. My burden's light. Isaiah 1:18, come now, saith the Lord. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. He bids you to come. Not only He bids you to come, but He will forgive you. He will save you. And He's the only one that can forgive. He's the only one that can save. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says there's no other name given unto heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. I love this scripture here, and I want to read it. Being known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, talking about Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by Him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Boy, He came to put away sin. Now listen. Jesus, Paul said, came to this world to save sinners. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Homosexual or sinner, He loves you. He loves you. The Bible said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I told you this message had a positive end to it. Now, not only did Phil Robertson say what needed to be said, and they choked on it, and they were really fighting it, trying to slander. I don't tell how much smut they tried to dig up on him. He's like me, he's got a rough past. And I'd say they'd probably find about anything they want about this man. But I'll tell you one thing, it's all done the blood, amen?
Yeah.
Bless you, Carolyn. Let's look here. Man of God, being criticized by Jesse Jackson, by Charlie Sheen, and all kind of other people. I've heard them all. They've let it just rampantly flow out of their mouth. That man of God, Phil Robertson, no doubt interceded on behalf of these sinners. You see, the Bible said in Genesis chapter number 18, if you look over top of verse number 23, it'll say Abraham intercedes to God. Who's he interceding for? Them sodomites. Them homosexuals. The Bible said in Genesis 13:13, them men of Sodom was wicked sinners above all sinners. Just them wicked sinners. Abraham's pleading to God. Will you spare it? Will you spare it for 50's sake? Yeah. Will you spare it for 40's sake? Yeah. Will you spare it for 30's sake? Yeah. Will you spare it for 10's sake? Yeah. Abraham stopped because he thought, surely to God, there's at least 10 righteous people down there in Sodom. God had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of this wickedness. But I want you to know, a man of God interceded on behalf of those wicked sinners. A man of God did. Here Phil is. He said he loves people. He said he's got no axe to grind. Just like Abraham, he's interceding. Who interceded on behalf of all the homosexuals in the world while he was nailed to a Roman cross, wearing a crown of thorns, being beyond all recognition? Luke chapter 23, verse number 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Listen, if you're a homosexual or a lesbian, you're to thank God for Phil Robertson loving you enough to tell you the truth about the sin of homosexuality. You're to confess it's a sin. You're to come out of it. You're to come to Jesus. You're to come right now, for it's everlasting too late. The Bible doesn't say to seek a cloak for your sin. It says come out from among it and repent and you can live.
All right, amen.
Yeah, homosexuality is a sin. It's not the only sin in the Bible, but it's one of the worst ones. You read what Jesus said about little children. He that offendeth one of these little ones of mine. Jesus said it'd be better if that man, they put a millstone around his neck and throwed him in the depths of the sea. He said, woe unto the world because of offenses. It must needs be that offenses come. Woe unto that man by whom they come. You go ahead and make room. I'm not gonna do no same-sex unions. I'm not gonna make no same-sex cakes. I'm not gonna make no fair speech about same-sex unions. I'm gonna try my best to warn them. I'm going to try my best to make them aware of the fact that God says it's abomination. Oh, that movie, Lord of the Rings, that big goofy guy, you know, it's got the real long hair and the hat and got his staff and he looks all holy and everything, that Gandor. For those of you who don't know, he's a practicing homosexual. And he kind of laughs about this matter of homosexuality. And when he stays in a motel, Brother Vernon, he looks in the door and sees if somebody has put a Gideon Bible in there. And if he can find one, he gets it out and he opens it up to Leviticus chapter 18 and verse number. Leviticus chapter 18 and Leviticus chapter 20, he takes his knife and cuts them out. That don't change a thing. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away but my word. Amen, Molly. It's not going to pass away. It's going to survive. You can burn all the Bibles you want. You can kill all the Christians you want. You can torture all the preachers you want. You can behead all those you want. You can try your best to silence the voice of the love of God, talking about His Son Jesus, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You go ahead and quench that, and the message will still be there. The rocks will immediately cry out. Thank God for preachers that labor in the Word, that care enough about people's soul, tell them the truth. Amen. Tell you right now, we got too much sugarcoating, too much dodging, too much compromising. It ought not be so. Yeah, homosexuality is a sin. If that hair lifts you, take it up with God. I finally got this message off my chest. I feel pretty good right now. It may have left a bad taste in your mouth, but I'll tell you this right now. A nail-scarred hand reaches out to the sin of homosexuality and says, let me help you. The nail-scarred hand of Jesus says, let me save you from the penalty of that abomination, that sin, that wickedness. He's the only one I know that can handle it. Sure. You go ahead and go to your... Well, they got these rehabs. Forget it. There's only one that can set free. Brother Melvin, the Bible said that the Son therefore make you free. Free indeed. I was an alcoholic. I remember the day God set me free with one in my hand, Brother Vernon. Just like He cut that umbilical cord. I remember that day. I remember right then, Brother William, knowing right then I'd never drink enough. That's been 25 years. I knew right then. I knew it. The world looked at it and said, we'll see about this. See how long he stays on the wagon. With that old arm still outstretched, I went to that kitchen sink, poured that past blue ribbon down the sink. Walked in there with my loving wife in there in that living room, Sister Margaret. She's sitting there, you know how women are, propped up on the couch there, you know. Watching TV as the world burns or something, and as my stomach churns, I don't know what she's watching. But I said, honey, I said, if you want to, I said, go in that kitchen, pour everything in that refrigerator down that sink. I'll never need another. How that woman kept breaking her neck, I still don't know. There's throw rugs when they were. It was like the room exploded. I mean, furniture just went, it went ballistic. She made a short work of it, Brother Melvin. She had tolerated that. I commend my wife. Why she put up with me, I don't understand. I commend her. It's better for her now. She ain't got a drunk. She got a saved husband now. My children got a saved father now. But make no mistake about sin. All sin is just like the sin of homosexuality. It's lethal in the smallest dose. When it runs its course, it'll bring forth death. Bible said by one man sin entered into the world, Romans chapter 5, and death by sin. If you don't like burying your loved ones, you ought to run to the one that's the God of the living. They come out there to that tomb seeking Jesus, and that angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He ain't here. Man, this ain't where he is. He's up and about. Amen. He said, go into Jerusalem, you'll find him there. He's already went before you, and they went up there, and there he was. Amen. If you want to mingle with the dead, you go right ahead. I'm going with the living. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of preaching your word to deliver this message, Lord. And if anybody's got a problem with this message, Lord, they got a problem with God. Lord, you sure are gracious and good, merciful and kind. Your word says you're even kind to the unthankful. I pray that people will come to the right conclusion about this message. Not wrestle the Scriptures to their own destruction, but admit they're a sinner and let God forgive them of their sin and save them from it before they have paid the awful penalty of it. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen. Ask everybody to stand this morning. I don't know how the message went with you. It may not have pertained to you in any way at all. But if you're here this morning, you're lost, you're just as wicked as the most vile homosexual, as the most vile lesbian or anything else. Because there ain't nothing good about sin. Look at what it done to Jesus. You don't know how bad sin is. You need to come this morning, won't you just come on down. Get a refuge for your soul. Get it fixed.
Page 250.
Page 250. You need to come this morning.
Jesus had the table spread.
Where the saints of God are fed.
He invites His chosen people coming down.
Yes,
Brother William, I appreciate you, brother. Lord God, let you, Lord, bless Brother William. Bless his family. Lord, we just see the riches of God upon him. We thank you, Father. My name, Lord, is Brother John Brother Holden. Lord, bless Brother William. Bless all that you have kept precious in this time. I pray others, Lord, to join him up here and get the same blessing. Lord, if there be one here this morning, Lord, pour that in the body. Let it come out and get the greatest gift of ever given. The gift of life. Bless you, Brother William. You need to come this morning? Why not come? Why let the devil talk you out of it? Why let the devil do you like he done me? Nail your feet to the floor where you can't move them. Why not just come to Jesus right now? Why not find out what he can do for you? Dying the master calling, coming down. He's calling. Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry call of now, coming down. He's coming.
If he ever at your side,
host of heaven will assemble be. It will be a glorious sight. Think about it. Saints and spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Jesus is calling. Coming down. Coming down. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry call of now, come and dine. Boy, Jesus is calling. Are you answering? Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart this morning. We certainly welcome that. This is Brother Melvin. We certainly welcome that. If you got a word on your heart, boy, so great a salvation. The Bible said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You won't escape. There'll not be no hiding place. You'll find that dreadful day to be more than you can bear when you stand before God realizing you should have come to Jesus before that day came. My granddaughter bought me this tie. And she said, Pop, I want you to wear it Sunday. This was the only thing I could find that might halfway match with it. But Brooke, my oldest granddaughter, she got me this tie. Appreciate her. I thank y'all for what y'all gave me for Christmas. Y'all truly a blessing. I'm honored to come up here. I'm nothing. I've never claimed to be anything but a sinner saved by grace. But thank y'all for all you do for me, for the kind cards and everything. I just want to say thank you.
I'd read that scripture last night, and if you had the name.
Yeah.
This morning.
Yeah. It had been on my heart all week long. I've been tossing with that thing and couldn't put it down, and I can now. But I'm like you, brother. My heart been stirred. Yeah. We've got to the point now that I don't know if anything's sin anymore. I mean, they've just politically corrected everything and sugar-coated everything, and man, we've lost our blush. God's not changed one bit. His word's not changed one bit. The judgment of God is sure. The word of God is certain. You better listen today.
I didn't understand. That's sin unto death.
Yeah.
That you don't pray for it.
Right.
What is that?
That's sin unto death. I'll tell you right now. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. Look at the sons of Eli. I mean, struck dead. Look at Uriah. Uriah to touch the cart. He was bringing the ark in the wrong way, by the way. Levites were scared. But they're making the worldly approach to Jerusalem with the ark. And Uzziah stretched forth his hand, died.
Well, blaspheme against the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sin unto death. I'll tell you what, you can find out. They'll be laying there dead. That's that sin unto death. Yeah. Now, they carried out Ananias and Sapphira, his wife. And God, He's gracious, merciful, kind, long-suffering. But He just goes so far. J. Edward Smith preached a message one time, I believe that's his name, on God's deadline. You cross the deadline, you'll find out, buddy. He's God ready to judge, and He will judge. Amen.
thank the Lord for the message, Brother Eddie.
Bless you, Carolyn.
I thank the Lord that there's someone that'll stand up and preach.
Thank you, sis.
What comes out of that Bible.
Thank you, sis.
The new and the old.
It was difficult for me. I see this little child here, and I have to admit, I wanted to withhold preaching this message today. Lord laid a message on my heart that more pertained to this little child. That's what I wanted to preach this morning, and I will preach that message. But the Lord will me preach this morning. And for all I know, somebody needed it before next Sunday, so I had to be obedient to the Spirit of God, and I've done what God told me to do. You can do whatever you want to with the message. I appreciate the testimony, Sister Carolyn. It wasn't easy to preach the message today. That's not something I love to do, to call people sinners and tell them about judgment, eternity, and hell. It don't change nothing, no matter whether I love to or don't love to. I'll tell you right now, it's certain. It's certain the judgment of God is. Anybody else got a word?
I praise the Lord this morning. I love Him. I thank Him for the blood. The blood is the answer.
Amen.
To all things. I praise Him.
Amen. That's a sinner's perfect plea. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Thank the Lord for bringing
carrying through the day. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
That kind of message needs to be on TV, don't
it? They won't put nothing like that on there.
I wish they could get a message like this.
Yeah, they welcome no field back. They want the money. I'm sure they're going to probably try to put a muzzle on him. The Bible said not to muzzle out the ox that treads out the corn, but they'll muzzle him somehow, but I believe he'll still slip something in there.
Brother Eddie, I'm grateful for the word, for the truth, and that it'll stand.
Yeah, it will.
It doesn't matter what the world's saying. I kept thinking as you're preaching there in Romans, that chapter that deals with it, so specifically, he went on a little farther than you said. It said, they do such things. Are worthy of death.
That's right.
That's right. I tell you what, we're just too easy.
Amen.
We're just painting too pretty a picture of it, you know.
Amen.
And I get so sick of seeing this on television. Two men hugging and kissing. If anything that would surely make you sick at your stomach.
That's right.
And can we imagine how what it does to God?
Right.
God is so merciful, or He would have already destroyed this whole thing. Yeah. He would have called it to an end.
Right.
I was at a funeral yesterday, and I got up early yesterday morning. Was gone about 12 hours. Time went to the funeral and back home yesterday evening. But I thought in this funeral, large crowd of people, and preachers done a good job, then the daughter of the deceased one went to the podium and made a talk about her own mother.
Yeah.
And then people in this congregation begin to stand up and give a testimony of what that individual had meant to them.
Amen.
And my desire today
Bless you.
Is that I can live a life.
Amen.
That when I'm laying in the cold Bless arms you, of death, that old body's there, and that's all you're looking at, and it's not much to look at now, and there won't be then. But my desire is that I will have so lived a life as I've passed through this journey here that somebody will be able to have something to say.
Amen. Right.
In appreciation of my life.
Bless you, preacher.
I was reading a little epithet out of a book, and it said in that it was the inscription that was on the headstone of a man that had deceased. It said, here lays John Tackett.
Yeah.
In a wooden jacket. Now think about it.
Yeah.
It said he lived like a hog and died like a dog. He had no mules, he had no horses. He had not much of any worldly goods. What he had, he left to fools.
Yeah.
Now think about that. You know, this whole thing today, life in general with the majority of the people, is only about one thing.
Yeah.
One purpose. That's not about me.
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's all about that
right.
man Jesus.
Amen. You're right, brother.
And about those people that I rub shoulders with
Amen.
In my daily walks.
Amen.
I want to be able to be that kind of person.
that somebody will be able to sing that. Some of you here remember Carol, my first wife. You know, I can speak about her, things that she said and did. I can speak that in front of Linda. You know, it doesn't bother somebody. I said, you talk about your first wife in front of Linda? Sure. Yeah. She talks about her first husband in front of me.
Yeah.
But Carol had this saying, you know, and it's on the headstone of her rock there, about out of the book of Ecclesiastes, about there's a time and a season for all things.
That's right.
And she sang this song, one of her favorite songs, What Will I Leave Behind?
Right.
If you and I are not leaving something behind that's going to benefit somebody,
amen,
what have we accomplished in life?
Well said.
I may not be a Billy Graham preacher.
Me neither, brother.
Don't intend to be. Don't want to be.
That's right.
Don't try to be. But my desire should be that I will live a life, brother Eddie, that somebody can see something good out of me.
Amen, preacher.
And I enjoyed that funeral yesterday. We weren't going, and this lady that passed away was kind of in Linda's family through her first husband. In fact, she was his aunt, I guess. Her cousin, I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'd about decided we weren't going. It was on Saturday and everything. I wanted to be back for church here. But I just felt like all day, Friday night and Friday, and that we should go. And Linda's about decided to not go. And I just told her, I said, I feel like we need to go. If there is good things in funerals, and there is, I think funerals are not always a time of just crying and sobbing and mourning and weeping. But I got something good out of that.
Amen.
That lady, just a common lady, an old-fashioned lady, born, I guess, right over here, right down below where Brother Melvin and them lived, or she lived there, I know, years ago, her parents. Just a common lady. And Linda and I, we'd been in her home, and I've known them for about all my life, I guess, that I can remember. Wasn't a preacher. Don't guess she ever sung a song in church, I don't guess. Probably never led in prayer. Probably not a real outspoken person, maybe as far as public speaking. Didn't claim to be anything like that. But she lived a life.
Amen.
You don't have to be a figure out here in the world.
Sure.
Just be what God wants to be.
Amen. Amen.
And that will have a greater influence. So
amen.
I enjoyed that funeral. You say you enjoy funerals. I enjoyed that one.
Amen.
I saw there the need and how important it is that we live. And out of that congregation, I'm sure there are many others could have said something, but they begin to stand up over here and all around over that church and saying, what is it?
Amen.
I just leave this as my testimony today. What are we leaving behind?
Amen.
I love the Lord, Brother Eddie.
Bless you, Brother Byron.
The Word, the truth,
amen.
The power of the Word of God.
Amen.
We may say we know Christ, we may say we know God and all this, but until we know Him and the power of His resurrection,
amen,
and that gospel there, we don't really know Him, do we?
That's right.
I'll try to help.
God bless you, preacher. The Bible talked about Dorcas. She had testimony, so they looked at all the things that she made us, and Jesus came over there. Well, that wasn't Jesus. Peter came over there and raised her up from the dead. And there is life after death. Paul said, who should live in this body of death? I'm living in a tomb. I can paint it, whatever you want to. It still ain't going just so far. I'm just borrowing it right now. One day I'm going to lay it down, pick up a better one. Anybody else got another word? If not, we'll be dismissed. We've been long. It's been good. All right, Brother Howard, dismiss us, Board of Choir. Thank you for coming. Don't forget to come tonight. Brother Vernon will be preaching tonight. Don't forget to pray for him. Come tonight. Bring a bunch with you. Dismiss us, Brother Howard. bless him. Yes, help us. Bless him. Amen. I bless you, Brother Harry.